Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 20th of February, 2017, a sunny day, bright and sunny in Jerusalem. Thanks so much for joining us. Be in touch with us during the week. Josh at thelandofisrael.com, via email, on Twitter, at Josh Haston, on Facebook, Joshua Haston. I am here with my main man, Binyamin Goreski, engineer extraordinaire. In just a few minutes, we're going to go to the phone. BYUD Anglo Forum Chairman Jeremy Sultan. He has many other titles and responsibilities, and we'll get to those as well. If you remember on the old station, we'll call it the old station, Jeremy was a regular on my show. We had him on once a week to talk about everything going on inside the Knesset. He's also known as Knesset Jeremy. He puts out a blog talking about all the ins and outs of everything going on there in the Knesset, representing the BYUD party. So we'll get to him in just a minute or so. Since we've talked last week, the huge story here in Israel, of course, the meeting between Prime Minister Netanyahu and the new President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. So many different opinions and commentaries and people writing about that encounter, really analyzing every word, every gesture made by those two leaders last Wednesday there at the White House. And there's a lot we can say about it. We could focus probably a whole show just on the ins and outs of that. We'll get to Jeremy's take on it in just a minute. But one thing definitely that stuck out was how warm the relationship already seems to be between the two leaders. I mean, that's automatically something that comes to mind, regardless of what they said or policies or what's going to happen in the near future. Definitely a huge change between the Prime Minister of Israel and the new president, much different than what we've seen over the last 8 years between Netanyahu and, of course, the old president already, President Obama. So we are not going to get into all the ins and outs and specifics, and I'm not going to give my commentary. We'll hear what Jeremy has to say on the issue. But before we get to him, I just want to read a quote here. You know what? First, let's introduce Jeremy, and then we'll get to the quote. So he's on the line. He's joining us now. Jeremy, the man, my main man, Jeremy Sultan, BYUD Anglo Forum Chairman. Also, he's a Central Committee member of the BYUD. That's the Jewish Home Party headed by Naftali Bennett. He's also a party branch director. He also is involved in municipal politics there in Mevaseret Tzion, a municipal politician. Jeremy Sultan, it's been a long time, my friend. Welcome to my new show, I guess. It's not so new anymore, Israel Uncensored here, the Land of Israel Network here on thelandofisrael.com. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, Josh. It's been a little while, but it feels like it's been just yesterday.
Thanks very much. And you're busy, man, with all these responsibilities over there in the Knesset, representing the BYUD. How's it going? How's everything over there in the parliament?
Things have been very interesting. You were mentioning some of the international flavor that we've been going through. The Prime Minister himself just left again yesterday to visit Singapore and Australia, and he has some other trip scheduled. So he's just been all over the place over the last month, if you look at his trip even before the states that he took. He's doing that perhaps because there's a tradition not to try to embarrass the coalition or to have any no confidence motions when the Prime Minister is overseas. So perhaps with all this time overseas, he's just making it some real nice dull Knesset days for us lately.
Yeah, let's see what happens here with the Prime Minister not in the country. Let's see how everyone else behaves or misbehaves. We'll see what happens. But I want to get right to the after effects of the meeting between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Donald Trump. And let's go to a Twitter quote that party chairman of your party, BYUD, the Jewish Home Party, he tweeted this out on Wednesday afternoon. He said, and I'm quoting here, I'm not sure exactly which news source it is. He said, this is Naftali Bennett. This is the end of an era, he tweeted Wednesday. The Palestinian flag has come down and has been replaced by the Israeli flag. The Prime Minister displayed leadership and daring and strengthened Israel's security. Now, that's Naftali Bennett praising Prime Minister Netanyahu. The Palestinian flag has come down and has been replaced by the Israeli flag. Jeremy, Give us your opinion and your insight into that quote, which was reported in the international press, reflecting Beit Hayyudi's positions.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that it was a very good trip. It was a very good meeting between the two sides. You're never going to be 100% happy with everything. But let's put it this way. If in the previous administration, the Israeli right was happy with 20% of what Obama said and upset with 80%, I think that's sort of switched around. I think we're happy with 80% of what the Trump administration is saying. And I'd say we probably have disagreements and might be a little bit upset on 20% of it. And I think that's really a big shift. And it comes to a lot of the decisions that were made by the president. One of the first calls that President Obama made when he took office in 2009 was to the Palestinian Authority. He took some time between calling Abbas and calling Benjamin Netanyahu. You saw that go in the other direction here with President Trump taking office, one of the first phone calls being to Benjamin Netanyahu. And he took quite a long time to go ahead and get down to the Palestinian Authority officials. So I think what you have here is a big shift, and it's a switching of the guard. And when you have the switching of the guard, you switch the flag. And we see that the situation that has been very clear for the last 8 years in the previous administration, that although, there were stuff that we agreed with, but they were going more towards the Palestinian side than trying to be a neutral broker, as they claimed, or at least be 100% pro-Israeli, as some people claimed that they were being. And we see actually something that actually fits more that type of rhetoric right now with the new administration. And that's what that tweet was resembling.
So the key, I would say, one of the key tag phrases over the last week, or actually probably since Donald Trump, President Trump, took over, is the word sovereignty. Now, I didn't see you, but I understand. I actually didn't even see Ben Breske at the sovereignty conference last week. Maybe I was because I was running around doing all these interviews with all the different people who were there, but I didn't see you amongst about 1,000 people in attendance at the sovereignty conference. But that is a key term. I know that your party chairman, Naftali Bennett, Minister of Education Bennett, is talking about this a lot these days. Israel enacting sovereignty over Area C, the area in Judea and Samaria, which is already under Israeli military and municipal control. Where do things stand now on that push for sovereignty? You have the defense minister saying, let's stop talking about that now. Let's not push it now. Let's let the American administration get their feet wet a little bit. But you have Naftali Bennett, Minister Bennett, saying, no, now's the time to start. You have a whole movement talking about annexing Maale Adumim just outside of Jerusalem. And ultimately, Minister Bennett is calling for sovereignty in Area C. Where do things stand on that issue today?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting you're mentioning the sovereignty conference that was on last Sunday. I think it's the fourth year now, fourth anniversary, fourth conference. And for the first time, it was, in the convention center, next to the convention center in the Crown Plaza Hotel in Jerusalem. But beforehand, that was something that went on in Judea and Samaria, particularly in Judea. And suddenly it's become mainstream. 4 years ago, or even I'd say at this point, 5 years ago, when Naftali Bennett was starting his campaign and he was talking about sovereignty in Area C, people said that's a crazy thing. No one's talking about that. Even the crazies, quote unquote, in Likud aren't talking about that. And here we are 4 or 5 years later, just about, I'd say, what was it, half of the ministers from the Likud party. You had following that, the two-day conference of the Jerusalem conference, I heard positions from Kulanu ministers, Kahlon and Cohen, as well as other members in the coalition saying some very, very good things. Even the president of the State of Israel, Reuven Rivlin, talking about applying sovereignty. Of course, he has had his own catches of what needed to be done, in his opinion, before he went ahead and did that. So, this narrative of talking about applying sovereignty into Judea and Samaria is something that we're very proud that we've started. And I think what you've seen over last week is that this has now officially become mainstream. All these backbencher Likud MKs that are coming out with their plans to solve the conflict look pretty much like recycled plans of Naftali Bennett's Stability Initiative. And of course, I'm referring to Yoav Kish and Miki Zohar and a few other people are coming up with these type of plans. Now, what you see in terms of what's going to happen going forward is, again, you have a more favorable administration. There still is a role that the United States needs to at least pretend to play, whether they actually are or not, of being somewhat neutral. So there is somewhat we can get towards our side, but we can't go ahead and, you know, annex all of Area C overnight. So there's been a lot of reports that I've seen that Maale Adumim is something that could probably happen very soon in terms of coordination with the American administration. And it looks like Gush Etzion, you guys, you know, living down there, or even though you're next in line, it might take a little bit further to get there. But there's sort of an understanding that because we've done a lot in terms of unilateral moves towards the Palestinians, and we've not actually received anything, there's really been nothing that Israel can actually say that they've received at all since the beginning of this Oslo process. This is a great time to capitalize it, even those of us who do not believe in the Oslo process, to at least try to get something that's ours and move in the right direction. But it's not going to be something that happens overnight. And I hear a lot of people that do want to see things go down overnight. But it is definitely trending in the right direction. And after a tough 8 years, I think we're going in a very positive direction.
Yeah, you mentioned before that, you know, things have changed and maybe it's gone from 80% pro-Palestinian, if you will, pro-Arab from the Obama administration to 80% pro-Israel in the Trump administration. One of the issues that people are concerned about, those who believe in annexation and those who believe that communities in Judea and Samaria should be expanded and are in no way an obstacle to peace, are some of the comments made by the Trump administration in terms of holding off or taking a break on building in Judea and Samaria. You kind of saw it tongue-in-cheek there with Trump and Netanyahu up there on the podium in front of the international press. But what is your take, and what is the Beit HaYudi, the Jewish Home Party's take on the fact that the President of the United States said something to the effect, and I don't have the exact quote, of, you know, let's take a break from settlements, sir. Let's, you know, let's take a pause on that. And then obviously they said, well, we'll have to work out the issues, we'll talk about it. But what are your thoughts on the president's comments saying that building in Judea and Samaria is something that I guess we need to take a pause on that issue? What's your feelings on that, and the party's feelings?
Sure. Before I talk about the settlements, I'll mention that, I also used to talk about annexation, and that's something that really irked Naftali Bennett, our party leader. He said, listen, you should be talking about applying Israeli sovereignty. You should not be talking about annexation. You annex something that's not yours. You apply sovereignty when it is yours. And you cannot be a conqueror in your own land. You can't annex, the Jews cannot annex Judea. It just sounds wrong, and it is, you know, from a, you know, legal terminology, but also, you know, from the moral side that we're coming from, of course, on the right. But talking about the settlement issue, yeah, I think that's going to be within the 20% that we don't agree with eye to eye. But again, I'm very happy about the 80%. But in terms of the 20%, look, it was reported that the committee that is supposed to discuss how much building we do is going to be led by Ambassador Dermer and Jason Greenblatt on the Trump side. And I will say, if those are the two people leading that committee, I think they will be building. It just might not be the way that we did in the first few weeks of the Trump administration, of announcing, you know, 5,000 either new units, marketing of units, or advancing current units, since a lot of this stuff is, of course, recycled numbers. But I think, again, a lot of these things will be able to be dealt with in that committee. And if they had to choose people to sit leading that committee, I think on both sides they chose people that are pretty pro-settlement in their positioning. And again, you know, choosing the person who's on the Trump side, supposed to be in charge of all international negotiations, to be dealing with this issue specifically, I think that that's something that is what I would look upon as an achievement, because the Israeli position, the Israeli government position, has always been that this is a final status issue and this shouldn't be something that is any precondition. And this is just another example of something that, even if it didn't go all the way over to the Israeli side, the pro-Israel side, it's left the pro-Palestinian narrative side and entered the neutral area. And that's why I said, even though we have the 80% that is pro-Israel, the 20% is not all pro-Palestinian. A lot of that is stuff that really has become neutral ground. And especially since a lot of that shift is from pro-Palestinian neutral, I find that stuff to be very beneficial for us. Now, what I would like to see, of course, is a situation where we can just build wherever it is that we want, whenever we want, without talking to anybody. And the way to do that is exactly to do what it is that we've been doing in the Golan and in Eastern Jerusalem, that's apply sovereignty. So we're going to try to do that, like I said, in Ma'ale Adumim first. And after that, we're going to hopefully go towards Gush Etzion, and we're going to continue going as far as we can until we get all of Area C under our sovereignty.
Yeah, in addition, I've heard over the last 24 hours that, in addition to Ambassador Dermer, that Vice President Pence is also going to be directly involved in some of these issues in regards to building in Judea and Samaria. And I, of course, am partisan towards Vice President Pence from former governor of the state of Indiana, myself from Indiana, and having and knowing the governor, the former governor and vice president, and having full confidence in his understanding of the U.S.-Israel relationship and understanding of how important Israel, a strong Israel, is for the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. So I'm a little bit less concerned knowing that the vice president is directly involved. But I want to switch gears just a little bit. You mentioned Prime Minister Netanyahu is away, but business goes on as usual, even if he's not here. What else can we expect in the next couple days, if you can let us know, in terms of any activity going on or what activity is going on in the Knesset and that affects or that the Bayit HaYehudi, the Jewish Home Party, is directly connected to any special legislation that that is being pushed. I heard Bezalel Smotrich's name in the news this morning. Maybe you can fill us in just on a little bit of what the party is up to and what they're going to be up to over the next couple of days, and fill us in. Let us know what's going on in that regard, since you are Knesset Jeremy and you are in the Knesset all the time.
For sure. Well, you have the start of the Knesset week today, right? Knesset works Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then we take a four-day weekend.
Rough life, huh?
This is very rough. So it's the beginning of the Knesset week. This is the day also where they come out with the agenda, and we look at everything it is that we're going to be doing this week. But, of course, insiders like me know pretty much ahead of time what it is that's going to be published later today. And you're going to have some interesting things that we're going to be advancing. But I wouldn't say there's something that's going to be hitting the Knesset floor that's going to have the type of buzz that you would expect from some of our previous bills. Of course, last week we started with advancing once again the loudspeaker bill of Moti Yogev, which is a buzz, type of bill within the news. But a lot of bills that we do are important. I think one of the bills that's supposed to come up to a final vote either today or tomorrow, if, again, it continues as scheduled, is one of Shuli Mualim's bills, that you cannot discriminate someone based on where they live. This is particularly to help people who live in Judea and Samaria who are not hired to certain places or cannot receive certain services because of where it is that they live. And this is really a special bill to me to see pass, because I remember it was actually Uri Orbach who started this bill and this process a few Knesset terms ago. So to see the Bayit HaYehudi finishing some of the good work of Uri Orbach, I think, is a very important thing. Again, all people who feel that people should not be discriminated against, this is one of those great opportunities for people to stop people who are wearing those masks that feel that there should be human rights and no discrimination forever, and except for people who happen to live in Judea and Samaria. So
I just want to cut in here, because as a resident of Judea and Samaria, I know firsthand what that discrimination feels like. For example, just so the listeners understand, when you have a refrigerator delivered or something else of that nature, and all of a sudden the delivery company says, well, you live in Judea and Samaria, we are going to tack on an additional service fee, a delivery fee, because of where you live. I mean, I've experienced this discrimination firsthand. I understand if somebody says, well, I'm scared to come out there, and even though I believe it's 100% safe to visit these areas, but all of a sudden some, you know, special tax is thrown on to a service or a delivery because of where I live. So that's an amazing initiative. I didn't even hear about that, but I can relate to that. I've experienced that discrimination firsthand.
Yeah, well, again, this is something which has now been, what has it been, like 8 years in the making, this bill? So I think a lot of the headlines we got for it was a while ago. Hopefully, again, it gets passed today or tomorrow. And that, of course, depends on the opposition, because bills that have a complete consensus we're able to vote on Tuesday. We're not allowed to vote on controversial bills on Tuesday. That's been a longstanding Knesset tradition for a long time. So again, we can do that on Tuesday if the opposition decides. If they decide again that they want to continue discriminating against those who live in Judea and Samaria, then I guess we'll vote on it today. You know, when there are more people in the building, and I think again, hopefully, you know, and of course, it's a lot better to wait till it's officially on the agenda, and of course, until it's officially passed. But I feel very good with us getting towards the end of this legislative process. Because, as you said, this is something that's going to help hundreds of thousands of citizens. And that's something that, unfortunately, there are some people who might not be behind within our parliament.
One final issue before we let you go, Jeremy. The residents of Amona, 42 families who were removed from their homes just, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, they are still currently homeless. And now I remember exactly what I heard on the 7 o'clock news this morning. It was Bezalel Smotrich talking about finding a place for the residents to live in. I'm talking about finding the Prime Minister mentioned as well, a new community in Judean Samaria, building it specifically for the Amona residents, who, as far as I understand, are still living in the dormitory in Ofra, and they're protesting almost daily in front of the Knesset, calling on the government to find a solution for them, because they are homeless. And Smotrich talked about how we need to move this forward. We need to move this along quickly so that these people can return to their lives, albeit that they're going to be living in a different place. Before we go, Jeremy, just give us an update on the situation with the Amona residents, and what is the Jewish Home Party doing to ensure that these people are moved into permanent residences as soon as possible.
Sure. On Thursday, I was at a Beit Yehudi event with Naftali Bennett and Moti Yogev and Nissan Slomianski. Most of our MKs weren't there just because they were overseas on different missions. The Prime Minister isn't the only one doing that. Ayelet Shaked was out. Rav Eli Ben-Dehan was out. Bezalel Smotrich was out. So we didn't have everyone together, but we were talking about some of those issues on the sidelines, dealing with what was going on with the Mona. Naftali tweeted on Thursday, as Ayelet did from Europe, that we should see that Netanyahu keeps his word in terms of promising that new settlement. You know, there was this leak that came out last night that supposedly Trump asked us not to do it. I'm sure that in the faction meeting today, we'll get a better idea. It will be more clear what it is that's exactly happening. So again, the party position stuff, I said that's from the three MKs we had on hand along with the party CEO on Thursday. But I think this idea that the rule of law only applies to when the Supreme Court says something is a problem. If the executive branch signed a deal with the citizens of the state of Israel that live in Amona, they have to live up to that agreement. You can't go ahead and sign a deal and then not live up to that agreement. Why is it that we decide that the rule of law only applies to one of those branches of government? So, you know, this is an issue. But like I said, we're going to learn more today from what happened in yesterday's Security Cabinet meeting. And hopefully we'll be able to resolve this issue like we've been able to resolve some other issues in the past.
Knesset, Jeremy, I want to thank you for your time, and I agree 100%. It's a humanitarian issue right now. The people of Amona need to be resettled in a respectable manner as soon as possible. I want to thank you so much for your unique insight and your time today. Beit Hayudi, Angloform Chairman, Central Committee member, party branch director, also involved in local politics in Mevaser Tzion. I almost said Malaya Dumim because I have that on my mind with the hopeful annexation of that area in the near future. Sovereignty, sorry. Let's call it sovereignty.
Well, we're all part of Greater Jerusalem, Josh.
You are. We're all in the same boat at the end of the day, wherever you live in this land of Israel. I want to thank you, Jeremy Sultan, Jeremy the man, Sultan, for your time. It's good to talk to you again, and let's keep it up, and let's do it more frequently. I appreciate your time today.
Sounds great. Great to be with you, Josh. Take care.
Have a great day. And that's going to be a wrap, ladies and gentlemen, from Jerusalem. Josh Haston here with Binyamin Breisky. There's actually one more thing I just want to say here. And this is important because it just makes us a little safer here. The Shin Bet, reported by the Jerusalem Post today, arresting the Palestinians for shooting attacks carried out in Judea and Samaria. Two 17-year-olds from they call it West Bank village of Dir Abu Mashal, from the village there in Samaria, who carried out shooting attacks against Israeli-owned vehicles not far from Neve Tzuf in December and in January, something that greatly concerns me as a motorist on the roads every day, who has encountered attacks, rock attacks, and in this case it was shooting attacks. Two 17-year-olds arrested for using their makeshift guns and trying to murder Israelis on the roads. They have been caught, they have been arrested, and hopefully this will lead to more arrests for people who are trying to murder Jews on the roads in Israel. So that's a wrap for today, 20th of February, 2017. Again, big shout out Ben Breisky. Without him, there's just no sound. We can't do this without him. And regards to all the other wonderful hosts here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Check out all their shows. Yishai, Ari and Jeremy, Eve Harrow. Who am I missing, Ben? All the others. Shlomo Katz and everybody else here at the Land of Israel Network. Josh Haston here. Most importantly, between now and when we speak again, next week, wherever you are in the wonderful world of ours, be safe, be in touch. All the best from a sunny and beautiful Jerusalem. Take care. Bye-bye.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is Windows of Jerusalem Apartments. Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments offers luxury 5-star short and long-term rental apartments in the heart of Jerusalem's city center. Elegant and modern, inviting and comfortable. The view, the location, the great apartments, and the staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com. That's windowsofjerusalem.com.
Hey folks, this is Jeremy Gimpel. I want you to know, if you're a non-Jew from a Christian background or just a full-fledged Christian and you want to come to Israel, the best program, tour, experience that you could possibly have is to go with Hayovel. Now, it's weird. I'm an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and I'm telling Christians to go to this Christian ministry in the middle of Samaria. Let me tell you, there is no better experience for someone outside of the land, outside of the Jewish fold, to come into the land and work alongside the Jewish farmers of Samaria, to learn about the culture, to meet the people. It's an experience like no other, and I think it's also probably the cheapest way to travel to Israel. So go to hayovel.com.